Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Milwaukee Brewers podcast coming at you again on a Monday morning. The Milwaukee Brewers salvaged what was a pretty disappointing week. Started out with five straight losses, running their overall run to six straight losses before winning two games in Miami, two very much needed wins at the tail end of the weekend. Keeping them afloat, still four games above 500, but definitely some concern, particularly on the offensive side. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, host of the podcast, and on the other line is Tom Hodricourt, Brewers beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Find everything he has at jsonline.com. And Tom, no secret, right now the offense is struggling. You got to go back to April 17th to see this team score more than six runs in a game. They've averaged somewhere in the neighborhood of 3.6 runs per game in the 21 games since. It's numbers now that are worse than they were in 2020, not by much and a small sample, of course, but worse than they were in that 2020 season where I think we all can agree the offense was just really, really scuffling. Some of it is injury. Some of it is guys underperforming again, but I don't know where the remedies are going to come from. I don't know if you have any ideas. If it's just a matter of guys getting better. If there's anything right now this Brewers team can do to sort of kickstart what's been going on with this offense.
Well, they had a very big disappointment at the start of that road trip when Christian Yelich came off the IL, played one game, and then went back on the IL. So they're missing two guys that could probably make a difference in the lineup, Yelich and Narvaez, who was off to a tremendous start. And you put those two guys in, and it just makes the lineup deeper. You can line them up a little differently. You know, they would probably be batting third and fourth or third and fifth. And so it just deepens your lineup when you miss people like that. You know, I've said, like on radio interviews and stuff in the last week, when people talk about the offense, I've consistently said, you take somebody like Yelich off of any team and it's going to hurt them bad, but you take them off of a team in which they're already struggling offensively, like the Brewers, and it makes it even worse. It doesn't excuse some of the things that are going on from other individuals. The guys are just scuffling. But scoring runs has been a real problem. And specifically hitting with runners and scoring position. You know, people debate that stat, say it's a bunch of BS. It's all arbitrary, so on and so forth. But here's my take on that. When you have guys on base, you need to knock them in. If you're not going to be just a great home run hitting team, you need to knock them in. And they don't have enough guys swinging the bat well enough to sustain big rallies. And therefore, they have been very bad with runners in scoring position. They broke out a little bit Saturday night in that 6-2 win, but not great. And then today, right back in the dumper, I think they were 0-for-8 or 0-for-9 before Tyrone Taylor's game, what turned out to be game-winning hit in the 10th. They had not delivered all day with a runner in scoring position. So they just don't have guys for lack of, you know, again, people really debate and some make fun of the clutch hitting stuff. But I know one thing, guys who've proven themselves to be clutch hitters, everybody wants to have them.
Yeah, for sure. And you mentioned it right at the outset. You take the guy that's supposed to be their best hitter and the guy who was their best hitter this year in Omar Narvaez out of the lineup, and that's a huge problem. The Brewers are getting a little bit healthier. Brett Anderson came back on Sunday. Corbin Burns sounds like he could be coming back at some point next week. Narvaez isn't far back. Manny Pena is back, or you know, like close to full strength and everything. So the Brewers are getting a little bit healthy, but the Yelich thing is obviously the biggest concern I think Brewers fans should have right now. And they don't know what's going on with that back injury. He obviously came back for a day essentially to test it and it didn't pass. I mean, he got a hit in his first at bat. He still looked like the normal Christian Yelich, but doesn't feel comfortable out there. And the concern now is having no timetable. I mean, not knowing what the injury is, the Brewers are still trying to figure that out so they can treat it properly. And knowing that he wasn't able to come back, you know, after a couple weeks, one game is all he gets before he goes back on the injured list. I mean, Brewers fans have got to be freaking out here. They're already dealing with, you know, nobody else performing well. But then considering Yelich was, you know, coming off that rough 2020 and he wasn't hitting for power, but he was hitting the ball at least in 2021. And now he's gone for an indeterminate amount of time. This is getting really scary for Brewers fans.
It is. And I'm going to put a bookmark in that for a second and go back to one other thing I forgot to mention that has greatly impacted this offense. the inability of Keston Hira to get going and therefore being demoted to the minor leagues. So right now, let's say you put a healthy Yelich, a healthy Narvaez, and a productive Hira into the lineup. How much better would their lineup be? It would be tremendously better. So it's really a three-pronged problem that they have with getting their offense going right now. So back to the Yelich thing itself. Yeah, that's the problem with this is it's not like, oh, we know he's coming back on Wednesday, May 11th or 12th or whatever. We don't know that. And very troublesome that he tried to play a game. That as it turned out, as it was explained to us later, that game was a litmus test. They just didn't know what else to do. Excuse me. He had sort of plateaued, so they said, let's play a game and see what happens. And he went 2 for 4. But he just didn't feel right.
Yeah, that's a huge concern. And I mean, it's obviously too early to start thinking about that contract that he signed before the 2020 season, but it's hard not to. You go up against this Marlins team and see a couple of the guys contribute whom the Brewers traded for in Ezan Diaz and Lewis Brinson. And no one's suggesting that this deal is any less the fleecing that it seemed to be after the 2019 season. But it's starting to get concerning. I mean, he's here on a massive, massive deal. If he's going to be have chronic back issues, we're kind of now finding out that he's been dealing with back pain since he was, very, very early in his career, since maybe even his, before he was a professional baseball player. So now there's like, well, man, what are they going to do with all this money if he ends up being a guy who's a little bit like Ryan Braun in his career, where he has to go on the DL for, two, three stretches out of the year.
Yeah, and I wrote my Sunday column about it today, so I'll put a plug in for that for those who haven't read it on JS Online, or if you still have a hard copy of the Sunday paper. I did my column addressing all of these things, all of these aspects of it, especially the contract. The big money kicks in next year. David Stearns told me in that column that they talked about his back when they were, formulating that long-term contract. And it had always been something that he had gotten past in a couple of days. And so it's not like they didn't know about it, didn't discuss it. But they've done every kind of electronic test you can do, and no structural damage ever shows up. He doesn't have a bulging disc, he doesn't have a herniated disc, doesn't have a fracture, no stress fractures that they've been able to see. So they can't find a real source for the pain. In a way, they probably wish they could. They wouldn't want it to be something bad, but they at least would know what they're dealing with. So, it's I think the next couple of weeks are going to be big. Craig Counsell told us this morning that he is doing some activity. He is running, doing some playing catch. They don't have him swinging because I think they really want to hold off on that because I'm sure the torquing of that is what bothers his back the most. And so, they'll get to a point, I'm sure. And I'm also sure there's some stuff going on that they're not telling us, just because there's a need to know on all that. And so, I'm guessing that maybe there's some thought on their end and on Christian's end exactly what's going on, and they just are going to keep it to themselves until they see if they can figure it out. So, yeah, it's just the unknown, the great unknown of that is what probably has everyone worried. Brewers fans, the Brewers executives, Yelich, all everybody. So, as Christian himself said the other day, anybody that has a bad back knows that it controls your whole life, much less being able to play baseball. I told people I use that very succinct medical term, trick back. He has a trick back, and anybody that's ever had a back that kind of barks at him from time to time and but then goes away knows what I'm talking about. And I've got like all kinds of emails from people saying, this is what's wrong, tell him to go do this. Well, first of all, MLB's very strict about what players can and can't take, and you don't want to get up on the disqualified list from taking some type of thing that would trigger a test, a positive test. So, they can't just take anything that they want to, and certainly anything that has a steroid base to it, forget it, that ain't happening. And the other thing is, I'm not Dr. Hardricord, and I'm not going to even presume to tell the Brewers or Christian Yelich what he should or shouldn't be doing. So all of those who are typing emails to me as this, they listen to this podcast with cures, miracle cures, and go tell Christian this and go tell Christian that, just save your time, folks. I'm not doing it. I'm not. I think there's all kinds of ethical boundaries that our bosses would have a say in if they found out I was prescribing medicine to Christian Yelich.
I think they have some people on staff who might be able to handle that part of the job. So that's also part of it, too.
And let's just throw this last thing in. You don't think they're looking at everything and talking to everybody? Of course they are. There's a lot at stake here. They're not just like scratching their heads and, you know, taking a break and going and eating pizza, and we'll get to this later. They're probably racking their brains over this thing.
We'll take a quick break to tell you to break free from your webcam and start living life this summer with Milwaukee Sports and Social. Milwaukee Sports and Social is a brand new recreational co-ed softball and kickball league for the city of Milwaukee that is designed to help you and your friends make the most out of summer 2021. Register as an individual or sign up with a few friends as a partial team. Milwaukee Sports and Social will fill out your roster with fun Milwaukee locals who you can have a great summer with. Registration is only $99 per person, but listeners can take $5 off their registration with code BASEBALL at checkout. Start enjoying your social life again. Register today at MilwaukeeSportsAndSocial.com. That's MilwaukeeSportsAndSocial.com. Use that registration code BASEBALL. To go back to Keston here a little bit, he was, Todd and I talked about this, felt like we could see the writing on the wall that once the minor league season began, the way Keston was swinging the bat, the Brewers were going to put him down to AAA. And that's exactly what happened. They gave him a few days to clear his head, and now he'll be reporting to the Nashville Sounds. And, you know, I don't know what the concern level should be. This isn't just a 2021 thing. It's a 2020 thing as well. And we've talked about the various ways you can look at the 2020 season and the various caveats you have to apply. But the fact of the matter is he's not the player he was in 2019. And I don't know if the sign we should take away from having a few mental days to just mental days off would be that they think it is a mental thing and he just needs to get back right, you know, on that side of it. And it's not necessarily a mechanical or physical glitch in his swing. But I guess what should concern level be on Keston Hira? We've had 6 weeks of baseball here and we haven't seen him anything approaching what he was in 2019. How concerned should people be at this point?
Well, some concern. There should be some concern, right? So, you know, as with almost everything in baseball that goes right or wrong, there's a lot of factors involved. It's just the way the game works. There's so many games, so many people involved in the game, so many things on and off the field. There's just way more variables in baseball than any other sport, just from the nature of playing a game every day. So you're not going to just say, point your finger to one thing and there it is. I think it's probably a combination of things. But let's go back to 2019. That was his rookie year, and he played half of a season in the major leagues, 81 games. The other half of the season, he played in AAA. He hit great in both places, AAA and the big leagues. And so, you know, he was immediately considered their second baseman for 2020. He had the screwy pandemic year, in which I'd say 80% of everybody just struggled. You know, and it was just all kinds of established players, way more established than Keston Hira, struggled. So he doesn't have a deep enough and long enough background in the major leagues to say everything's going to be okay. If he had, like, you know, Christian Yelich's last 3 or 4 years, then you would say everything's going to be okay because he's shown he can do it. But Keston only had half a season, so he's still got lots to prove, and he's not the first guy to have a step back early in his career. Lots of players do. The question is, will he be able to figure it out? Will he be able to overcome the mental part of it, the confidence part of it? Because no matter how long you've been a good hitter, when you struggle for a while, your confidence goes down. That goes for a guy that's 25 or a guy that's 35. And so he's got to get his confidence back. He's got to get his swing back. He's got a few more moving parts in his approach at the plate than some people do. He does a toe tap and a leg lift. And he just, for people that know baseball are going to understand this phrase I'm about to give you. He's having trouble being on time. He's either a little bit early, he's a little bit late, but he's having trouble being on time. And being on time is when you got your back going through the zone at exactly the right time to hit the baseball and do some damage. So he's having real trouble. You can see some of the stuff he's doing swinging shows you that he's a little bit confused up there because he's missing pitches he ought to hit. Sometimes last year they caught him. They just kept feeding him high fastball, and then he kept swinging at him, and he kept striking out. But this year he would miss balls right down the middle too. So he's got some stuff to figure out. As we've written, he's got a mom with a cancer diagnosis that's, no question is on his mind some. Sometimes it's hard to separate personal life from professional life. It's why I admired Travis Shaw so much a few years ago when, he had his daughter born with a heart defect and he was spending all of his free time at the hospital and yet still being a productive player. That was before he had that bad year with those Brewers. That's when he was still having good years. So I always admire any player that's able, again, to play a daily game and be able to have problems off the field not affect it. So these guys are human. So we'll see. I suspect we're going to see Keston again at some point this year. I suspect he'll get it going down there in Nashville, and that we'll see him back. They need him. They need him. Their right-handed hitters have not been doing very well. You know what they when they face lefties, and luckily for them, they haven't faced many. They went a long time without facing any. But they don't have enough guys going good from the right side of the plate to be very good against left-handed pitching. And so they have, most of their guys who have done well are left-handed hitters, guys like Wong and Narvaez. And so they're going to see a steady diet of lefties coming from the bullpen if they can't get some right-handed bats going soon. Tyrone Taylor, continues to be a guy that does some things, and he's getting an opportunity now. And we've talked about him in previous podcasts, that he's proven he can play in the major leagues. We know he can, but can he play every day? And how long will he get the chance to play every day too? So, but he's a guy that's a very interesting guy, and sort of like this could be his time. He had a big hit for him today. But let's see if he can do it every day. He's been really good coming off the bench. It should be harder to come off the bench than to produce with four at bats in a game. But he's almost been better, like in part-time stuff. So we'll see if he can do it with regular bats if they keep giving them to him. Because Billy McKinney's, cooled off a little bit, and so as have some other guys. Colton Wong becomes a really important player for them. Because when he does things on top of the lineup, they seem to have better offensive games. And that's probably true just across the league. If you have a good leadoff hitter who's always on base, it tends to spark rallies more. Although, as we noted earlier, the Brewers have not been good with runners in scoring position. But that guy's got a lot of fire to him, too. And he's been everything they thought in the field. So Colton Wong's certainly been great. Jackie Bradley Jr., who has a history of very slow starts at the plate, is staying true to that history. He's given him good coverage in center when Kane hasn't been able to play, but he hasn't really done a lot offensively. So they got some things to figure out. Vogelback, comes through every now and then, but has yet to get going on a steady basis. He had a really good road trip, and it got lost because he was the lone voice in the canyon. Was Avisaíl Garcia had a really good trip, but nobody around him did anything, so it just went to waste, but he
Garcia's numbers are, I mean, he's up to 275 batting average, 762 OPS. Like those are normal numbers now.
And he was like way below all of that. So, and he had 1 week where he just couldn't even make contact. So, he and I tell you one thing, JR, a lot of guys moan about having hard luck, and it's more in their head than in reality, but he's hit into a bunch of hard outs. He's got a hard 275. He should, his batting average on balls in play is not what it ought to be for how hard he's been striking the ball. So it's good to see that. And I think he's a player whose confidence really wanes when he isn't going well. So they just can't get enough guys going at the same time, and that's why they have trouble scoring runs and sustaining rallies. Their pitching, their starters had some hiccups on that trip, especially in the early innings, but their bullpen continues to be really good. And they're going to get Corbin Burnes back this week. Craig Counsell told us over the weekend he's going to rejoin the team Monday, throw a bullpen that day, and then rejoin the rotation later in the week. And so Brett Anderson came back today. So they're going to be whole again in their rotation. And their rotation looks really good. I tell you, JR, last night, Saturday night, Adrian Hauser threw the ball as well as I've ever seen him throw it. I was covering the game on TV, which I'd rather not be doing. I'd much rather be at the ballpark in Miami, where you have a little more sense of reality. But when you watch on TV, every shot's from center field, and just the movement on his pitches, watching it from behind him, I don't see how anybody ever hit a ball that night. And he had 10 strikeouts, and this is a pitch to contact guy. He was just filthy. I mean, absolutely filthy. And they've been waiting for him to do this. The reason they stuck with him last year after a tough year record-wise was that they've always believed in his stuff. And if they get him going on a regular basis and Freddie Peralta to join Woodruff and Burnes, and then Anderson just does what you want any fifth starter to do, just stay competitive, their rotation's going to be as good as anybody's.
Hauser, of course, helping his own cause with two home runs now on the year. Someone's got to be hitting home runs. I guess Adrian Hauser is taking it upon himself. I do want to talk more about the pitching because the pitching has been really good. The bullpen's just been awesome, in addition to the rotation being as good as it is now that it's getting healthy. But I do want to circle back real quickly and talk a little more about Tyrone Taylor. He did, like you said, have the hit on Sunday in extra innings that gave the Brewers the winning run. Drew Rasmussen then with a huge 10th inning with the runner, of course, starting at second base to get his first career save and keep things moving with the Fireyzen Williams hater corridor of pitchers already used in the Sunday game. He was able to get the big three outs to win that game for the Brewers. And that win is so huge. That win just totally saved this road trip, in my opinion. But I got to wonder if the Brewers are thinking it's time for Tyrone Taylor to get those regular at-bats. It has to be, because you look at their outfield, like we've said. I mean, Garcia's gotten going. Jackie Bradley Jr. struggling, of course, immensely offensively, but he still is a major weapon on defense. And Billy McKinney made probably the best catch that will be the greatest defensive play of the year, most likely, in the left field corner earlier this year. But Billy McKinney's 671 OPS, I feel like, is one that you could zone in on as a place where Tyrone Taylor could get some at-bats, even against right-handed pitchers, so that he is more, in the groove as a regular when he gets those chances against lefties, too. So I don't know if you feel similarly to me, but I got to think this is a turning point here where the Brewers say, look, we just got to get Tyrone Taylor in the lineup more often.
Well, I tweeted it, I think, Friday night. I tweeted it that And I think after their latest terrible offensive game, that maybe it's time to just let Tyrone Taylor play for a week, because they've never done that. He's never got to play for a week. It's always been a little here, a little there, a lot off the bench. And I just said, what do you got to lose? See what happens. If he's terrible for a week, then okay, we tried it, move on. But I'm guessing he won't be terrible for a week. He just he's another guy that seems to have a lot of juice to him. It might be his time. He bided his time a long number of years in the minor leagues, and he became prospect and suspect, and then prospect again, then suspect again, and just had some injuries, bad timing. This year, he mostly didn't make the team because he had a minor league option left, which sometimes works against you. Well, a lot of times works against you. And so now it just might be his time to just let him have some at bats and see what happens. Because he just looks like a guy who's ready to help. He's got a lot of energy, a lot of juice to him. He's become a real favorite among the local beat writers because of his use of the word sick. And
Yes.
he doesn't use it to mean he doesn't feel well.
He's a younger guy. He's still using that vernacular.
Yeah, I'm too old to even know what he's talking about. No, I do know what he's talking about. But he's just, you know, he's really fun too. He's a really fun guy to talk to. He's very appreciative of what he has in front of him now and what he's had to do to hang in there. He has some real perspective on life and the game that is something to not be denied. And so, you know, he's definitely somebody that is worth taking a good look at, especially while Yelich is away. And, you know, the other thing about him is he's very athletic, and so he can play all three spots out there. And he's put on some muscle, and he's got some pop now, too. Well, he's hit some balls hard. And so we'll see. They need all hands on deck offensively because it's just been such a struggle for them to score runs.
Yeah. Reminds me a little bit of Bill Hall. 15 years ago now on Mother's Day, this is his big moment, his big Mother's Day walk-off home run, but not necessarily a similar type player. But Bill Hall was a top prospect who sort of fell off the map, the prospect map, and then sort of clawed his way back to the big leagues and became a very important contributor for the Brewers in the early 2000s. And I feel like Tyrone Taylor may be similarly right-handed bat with a little bit of pop, you know, versatile, can play a few different spots, at least in the outfield. So I have good vibes about that guy. I think he's going to be a big contributor for this team this season.
Yeah, he didn't get the walk-off that like Bill Hall and Martin Maldonado and somebody else.
Manny Pena.
Oh, yeah, Manny Pena, yes. He didn't have the walk-off because they were on the road. They right. Changed a lot of the rules, but not the one that allows you to walk off on the road. So, but he had the winning hit, you know. If it would have been the bottom of the 10th, you know, and a walk-off, then he would have just drawn his name right in with those other guys. And then Freddie Peralta on the mound.
Uh-huh. Yeah, definitely. Mother's Day has been good to the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yeah, they got the best record in Major League Baseball in Mother's Day. And if I'm not mistaken, one of the worst on Father's Day. So these guys are definitely mama's boys.
Yeah. Yeah, and Freddie Peralta is still here and doing good things for this rotation. I said we jump back into it. And, I mean, one guy who isn't at the top tier, a guy that I think Brewers fans wouldn't have thought much of, is Eric Lauer, based on how he performed last year and in spring training. And now he's been pressed into some duty here. And his numbers are very good. It belies a pretty uneven outing that he had earlier this week against Philadelphia. A lot of unearned runs, but you know, he still got hit around a little bit. But now he backs up Brett Anderson on Sunday and comes in and locks it down. I mean, a really strong outing in relief and a lengthy relief appearance. And, you know, he's looked okay. I mean, better than okay. He totally shut down the Dodgers, which is his thing, apparently. But, I mean, if they can get something out of Eric Lauer, that's huge. Because that's like your seventh or eighth guy coming into the year in terms of starting rotation depth. I mean, that would be just a massive boost. And so far, so good, I guess, for him.
Yeah, and it will be interesting to see if they keep him on the team now that Brett Anderson is back and have him be kind of the second Brent suitor. And Brent is on bereavement leave now, and we were not told why, but it's never good. And so we will wish all the best wishes to him and his family for whatever's going on, and we hope he's back soon and everything, you know, is best as it can be in that regard. But Lauer could be another, you know, lefty, multiple inning lefty like Brent's been for them. And Brent's been a spot starter for them too. And Lauer could do the same thing. So, you know, I'm sure they'd like to keep him stretched out a little bit just for the reasons I just gave, that, you know, he could be a Swiss Army knife type guy like Suter's been. But I, you know, it does, with Corbin Burns coming back this week and now Anderson already back, it doesn't look like there's a place left for him in the rotation. But he does seem to have gotten past the woes that he was going through last year, a lot of them health related. And so, it doesn't hurt to have him with another arm. It gets people out. And, you know, almost every pitching staff has a bunch of soft spots in it because it's just hard to get 11 good guys or 12 good guys or whatever number it is. But the Brewers have so many good players. We were talking to Council this morning about, you know, the Fireisen, Williams, Hayda trifecta at the end of games that has been so good for them. And he says, well, don't forget Brad Boxberger.
Right.
You know? Theoretically, on a well-rested night, if they get 5 innings out of their starter, and you can go Boxberger, Fireyce, and Williams, Hader, you're going to be in really good shape. And that doesn't even include the two lefties we just talked about, Suter and Lauer.
Yeah, and I wonder, we talked in the offseason about the Brewers dealing from a position of strength. We spoke about Josh Hader or the bullpen in particular, but with the depth they have and the number of guys they have and this offense struggling, it's obviously a pretty early point in the season to start thinking about trades. But I wonder if that's something that they're going to investigate because they are so one-sided right now. They're so heavy on the pitching side, which, I mean, obviously that's the side you'd prefer to be on. That's the better place to be. And they are 4 games over 500, so their formula is, working for the most part. But with the offense in such a hole and pitching just being so good, I wonder if they think about that. They might have to start getting some non-traditional solutions.
Well, it's all going to depend on Yelich. If he comes back and he's healthy and he's the Christian Yelich of old, if he comes back and he's fine and he just picks up, close to where he left off a couple of years ago, then that's not going to be an issue anymore because everybody around him is going to be better just by him being in there. If he doesn't come back or comes back and is not the same, then they're going to have to maybe, don't forget the year that they picked up Moustakas and went for offense. It might get like that again. And so it'd be interesting to see if Narvaez, when he comes back, if he's still going to swing the bat good too, because he's going to, by the time he comes back, have been out for a while. And sometimes it takes, and the same is going to be hold true of Yelich if and when he comes back. You're not going to just come out there and just start swinging the bat like crazy. And he had not started driving the ball before he went on the IL with his back thing. He only has one extra base hit, a double. So even he was batting .353 with a high on base percentage, but he just wasn't driving the ball yet. And one of the things that made him special in 2018 and 2019 was his slugging. He led the league in slugging both years, and I think maybe led the major leagues in slugging both years. And that is a side of him that had never come out before. He had not been a big power hitter in Miami. And that just got everybody's attention that all of a sudden this long, lanky kid's become a slugger before our very eyes. So that, a lot will depend. Anything that they do that they think they have to do offensively would depend on that. But if Christian Yelich comes back and swings the bat well, and Keston Hira returns from the minors swinging the bat well, that's going to go a long ways to fixing their offense.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's true. And before I let you go, I have a theory. I have a theory that Brandon Woodruff, as good as Corbin Burns has been, he's been unbelievable, undeniable. I feel like Brandon Woodruff might end up getting more Cy Young votes than Burns by the end of the year. And I that's pure hunch. It's not that his numbers are better than Burns's, but now 1.77 ERA here and over 7 starts. He is so reliable, so good for the Milwaukee Brewers at the top of this rotation. 1.73 ERA. I shouldn't even dock him the extra percentage there. That I think this, I mean, I don't see him ever blowing up in any start. I feel like he's just too good, too consistent, too steady. He's not grabbing headlines like Corbin Burns or a lot of pitchers are. But man, the Brewers have it really good if both of these guys are clicking at the same time.
Yeah, they're as good as anybody in baseball, 1-2 in their rotation. And Woodruff last year kept getting stuck in one of the innings of his outings. One inning would mess up so many of his innings, and he just, for lack of a better word, would get stuck in an inning and not get out of it until some damage is done. He has totally avoided that this year. He doesn't get stuck anymore. He just keeps mowing you down. That was a real shame, losing that game in Philadelphia. He pitched as good as I've ever seen him pitch in that pitching duel with Zach Wheeler. But the Brewers didn't score, and you never win when you don't score. I haven't checked lately, but I think the Brewers might have a losing record in starts by Burns and Woodruff. That is a crying shame, and maybe should even be prosecuted by the feds because it's just a joke not to win the majority of the games those two guys pitch. But they just don't ever get any runs, and they've just pitched so well. But you just keep pitching like that, and you're going to be fine. And I can tell you the days that Woodruff's name is in the lineup, the team feels really good about their chances of winning that day.
Woodruff and Burns, we can laugh at the win stat. Both of them have two. Peralta and Hauser both have three. So if that metric does seem like it's not no offensive support. It's not on Woodruff and Burns. They're just not getting the runs in those starts. The Brewers.
I don't look so much at their win loss record. It's the teams.
That's really surprising.
The team should be way better one loss record when those two guys are pitching.
For sure. Brewers will finally have a day off after 17 days in a row of baseball. On Monday, they then open a six-game homestand at American Family Field, three against the St. Louis Cardinals, the team that right now is at the top of the standings in the NL Central, and then the Atlanta Braves in town. So they went 17 days. They'll have three off days in the next 10, I believe, each of the next two Mondays, another Thursday game off after a two-game series in Kansas City. Tom, that'll do it, unless there's anything else you want to throw in.
No, I'd just like to say I know that they want the day off because I'm tired just from watching them play 17 in a row, much less them playing 17 in a row. And that I think that was part of their struggles this last week. I think there was some weariness in there. So they're going to enjoy Monday off. They're going to enjoy those 2 days off next week. Big series with the Cardinals. That, like you said, the first place team, they've been really hot. So the Brewers – That losing streak will be put far in the rearview mirror if they win that Cardinals series.
Absolutely true. Yep, that is true. He is Tom Hodricourt, Brewers beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Once again, find everything he has at jsonline.com. My name is J.R. Radcliffe. Find this podcast at Stitcher, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. Let us know what you think. You can find me on Twitter at J.R. Radcliffe. Find Tom at Hodricourt. Thanks for tuning in this week. We will catch you again soon. Bye-bye.